clients who've been to see me have come in with a variety of issues. I think the most concerning one is around about 95% of people who I would have been seeing would have seriously contemplated taking their own life at some point or other. So there's a really serious suicide risk with this issue. Obviously, people are going into massive financial debt, loss of homes, loss of superannuation, and an enormous impact, obviously, on their social relationships and on their family relationships. So, you know, I would certainly in my practice be seeing people who were not only the person who was gambling problematically, but the impacts on their families and on their children. And it really is a massive issue that we really haven't got to grips with in this country. And I'm pleased to see that we're starting to look at it from a public health perception, because really up until now, we've tended to sort of blame the victim and look at just trying to fix a so-called problem person. But of course, the issue goes much more broadly than that.
And do you think the introduction of pre-commitment technology will help mitigate the problems associated with gambling?
And as a standalone proposition, I'm not suggesting on its own it will address all problem gambling issues, but it is a serious piece of reform that is looking at the technology and trying to give people choices around their gambling behaviour. And the really important message about that is that this is targeted towards problem gambling as opposed to the entrenched problem gambler. This is a preventive strategy. This is about giving people, anyone who chooses to gamble on a high intensity gaming machine, the tool for them to be able to set their losses and have those choices honoured. At the moment, we certainly don't have that situation, and we know that the interaction between the human mind and the poker machine results for those people who play once a week or more, with almost 50% of them losing control. So this is about giving control back to consumers.
But are there any merits in the calls for a proper comprehensive trial of the technology before it's introduced in all clubs and pubs?
It was suggested that a trial would help refine and inform that process, but I'm certainly not supporting yet another mechanism to perhaps stall its implementation. As people who've been affected by problem gambling, I would say they've waited far too long for some action on this issue.
The big clubs argue that they are mindful of problem gambling within their venues and have programs in place to help punters. Do you believe that they're doing enough?
No, I don't. I certainly think that they need to be at the table in terms of looking at prevention and early intervention. And at the moment, I can only really speak from New South Wales, but of course that's where we have over half of our poker machines. And that is that at the moment the responsibility is to be rather reactive rather than proactive. And most of that involves, you know, signage and information as to where people can get help. You know, it's really not effective to be constantly drawing people out from a drowning position in a river. We really need to be looking at how do we put you know, barricades at the top of the cliff, if you like. And certainly this opportunity to look at the technology is one of those. And so at the moment in Australia, we mainly have what's regarded by the rest of the world as a high-intensity gaming machine. That is a machine that will take between $1,200 or $1,500 an hour. And here in New South Wales, you can load it up in any one session with $10,000. Now, if this is a real recreational piece of equipment, then I think we have to be asking ourselves about, do we need a product of that nature on every corner? So the suggestion is that we'll have actually two different types of machine. One, if you want to gamble on a high-intensity machine, you will be asked to take out a smart card, and you will have the option to set a limit. On the other hand, there is the proposal to bring in low-intensity machines, i.e. change our machines' software so that they will play at a lower speed and lower levels of intensity, with losses more in the region of between $80 to $120 an hour. But what it will do is provide an opportunity to have a machine in the community that is truly recreational and akin to, you know, really what we're talking about is a piece of entertainment, if that's the case.
Yeah, and those options are being fought tooth and nail by the clubs. What do you make of the grassroots campaign being run by the bigger clubs in New South Wales against pre-commitment technology?
My concern at the moment is, firstly, that campaign is incredibly misleading. There is very little factual information, therefore, being promoted. It's also being run with money that's effectively come from the pockets of people who've had gambling problems, and I think that that's particularly concerning. And we here at the Gambling Impact Society also recognise that these are very strong, loud voices. And really, from our point of view, if you depend on people with gambling problems to both fund your campaigns and fund your profits, then I think you need to go back and look at your business model. It's effectively unsustainable without even looking at the ethics of that.
Kate Roberts, are you essentially saying that these clubs are building their profits on the misery of problem gamblers?
We know that to be the case. The Productivity Commission found that between 40 and 60% of gambling revenue is raised from about 15% of regular gamblers who we know have gambling problems. That's an inequitable dependence on people who are being quite clearly harmed, and not just them, but their families as well. So it's taking the food off the tables of your children, from your children, and effectively building monoliths and somehow suggesting that that's a good social contribution, and I think that's very questionable.